on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
Yes, Lazarus won the Inter-Dominion, but can he win the Miracle Mile? We'll find out on the show this morning. We'll talk with his trainer, Mark Purden. He's going to join us first up today. Of course, Miracle Mile will be run this Saturday night, and a lot to get through. Not only will we speak with Mark Purden this morning, we're going to speak with Greg Sugars, who will drive, at this stage, the second favourite. Who's to know by the time we get round to race time, will Soho Tribeca be favourite? So we'll talk to Greg Sugars. Also want to speak with Chris Alford. He'll drive the defending champ, Lenny the Shark, but he's got a couple of big decisions to make because he drove Poster Boy, he drove Maritai, and he drove Nostra Villa and I'm Princess Gemma. So Puppet's got a few decisions to make coming up with the Oaks and also the Derby, so we'll have a chat to him. I want to speak with Kevin Seymour. He owns Fame Assured and also Colt 31. They won heats of the Oaks and also the Derby respectively. And Graham White from Wagga. There's a lot going on in the world at Wagga. New track just around the corner and they've got their carnival coming up. So we'll get Graham on to tell us more about that this morning. But let's have a chat to Mark Purden. He is the man who puts the polish on Lazarus. I think Saturday night would have been a pretty tough night at the office for trainer Mark Purden, and he's joining us on the show. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, how's everything been since Saturday night? It's onwards and upwards from there?
Yes, certainly in Lazarus's case, Greg, we had a blood taken off on Monday and I was pleased that the results were a much improved picture. So that was positive.
With his performance on Saturday night, he looked like he was in a fair bit of trouble on the turn, but the champion qualities kicked in halfway up the straight and he wasn't beaten all that far. Was Saturday night's performance more to do with the virus or the fact that you probably couldn't get in as much or his normal workload in to him because of the virus in the lead up to the race?
Yeah, probably the latter, Greg. I think he went in healthy. You know, I jogged him the morning of the races and he seemed very bright and perky, but I think it was more the fact that the 3 to 4 days of it while he had it and was recovering, and we were reluctant to do the work we normally would have done with him. I think that counted against him at that level. Mm.
So how's he been since then? You said that he seems to be over it, or the tests suggest that he's over it now?
Yes, well, the blood tests sort of showed a more improved picture, and he's not fighting any infection or anything like that. So, hopefully, you know, we've got this week should be a good week to us, and we can have him there at his peak on Saturday night.
Sunday, things got even worse. He drew barrier 10. He'll come into barrier 8. Not ideal. No horse has ever placed in a Miracle Mile when the race has been run at Menangle from barrier 8. That's a little bit of a concern, but you turned the Hunter Cup into an absolute grueling staying test, and he proved too strong. Do you have to have something in the back of your mind, I'm going to turn this into something, you know, something similar, turn it into a staying test on Saturday night?
Look, it'll be a staying test anyway, Greg, because, you know, I think just over the shorter distance, I don't think they'll ease up at any stage of the race. And, you know, there's probably a couple there that may even want to hold the sort of the test seat. So I'm picking it, the speed will be on right from the start.
Where do you envisage yourself halfway from home?
Where I am and where I'd like to be might be two different positions.
Can you see the field letting you get to the death seat at any stage of the race, or do you think you're going to have to come with a sustained run from the top of the straight?
Look, Greg, I think he's probably better to be there early, personally, but whether it worked out that way or not, I don't know.
Okay. I noticed with interest, I was having a look on social media this morning, there was a story going around that Heaven Rocks has come under interest from the States and there's a deal being done to sell Heaven Rocks to America. So that must be a little bit disappointing. He's obviously performed below his best on Saturday night, but a very talented horse that might be moving on.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, very talented. And he was betted yesterday, so I'm pretty sure everything went good there. And he's one that'll fly out soon, I'd say.
And he was a victim of the virus as well. Was there anything amiss with him at all from his performance on Saturday night?
Yeah, look, our whole team were just below par, Greg. Nothing sort of raced up to my expectations. and it's something that had been through the whole lot. So, yeah, hopefully we're over the worst of it, and it's onward and upward from here.
All right. And what about the Ladyship Mile? You've got a couple of runners in that, Party On, and also a Piccadilly Princess. You happy where those mares are at the moment?
Certainly happy where Piccadilly Princess is, Greg. Party On, not so much. I will talk to the vet later on today and just we might pull another blood on her and just see how that looks. But I certainly wasn't happy with the work this morning.
Okay. It must be difficult as a trainer to how much information you let the public know. Obviously, there's a responsibility as, you know, the boss of All Stars to let the punters know, but also by going out and telling your rivals that you're not 100%, you might have missed work, is not ideal either. It's a fine line. I think you handled yourself extremely well in the lead up to Saturday night, but it must be a difficult thing for you in the back of your head how to handle all of the dramas that you've had with the virus in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it certainly is, Greg. But, you know, I like to be honest. There's sometimes your situation's just, you know, you're doing your best and sometimes you don't like to let out too much. But certainly in the case when I knew the money that they'd all be carrying, that I certainly wanted to make the punters well aware that I wasn't 100% happy.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck with Lazarus on Saturday night. He's going to have to create history, but he's all about creating history. We wish him all the best of luck and, of course, you as well.
Thanks very much, Greg.
There he is, Mark Purden, trainer of Lazarus. Interesting little snippet there that they might, well, he thinks he's best to get into the action early. Wow, imagine if he comes charging forward in the first little bit of the race. Makes our next guest decision an interesting one. Greg Sugars is the man who'll drive Soho Tribeca. We made the point, and it probably hasn't been spoken about as much this year, the fact that the gate seems to run extremely fast in the Miracle Mile. Now, what that does is have basically the horses running at their top speed. So the horses that normally accelerate off the gate and can show gate speed and shoot across the field, they're thwarted because all of the horses are basically running at 95% top speed. So the horses that are drawn closer to the inside therefore get a bigger advantage. Now, a horse like Tiger Tara has drawn Barrier 1. He is a horse that likes to run on the front end, but he's not blistering at the start. But if the gate runs fast enough, can he kick through and hold Anything for Love? Obviously, Anything for Love was so impressive when he found the top on Saturday night. That burn to the first corner is going to be so important to what happens in the race. And the man who'll be watching that all unfold inside him is Greg Sugars, who's going to drive Soho Tribeca, and he joins me on the show. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Tell me, what did you think initially when you heard about the barrier draw? Not a terrible thing. You'll get to see plenty of action inside you, and the way he raced on Saturday night suggests that he's going to be right in the finish this week.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I mean, like, you got to be in it to win it, and I'd rather draw where we have than, say, outside the front gate. So, yeah, it's obviously not all hope is lost from where we are. So, a lot of speed to the inside of us. As you say, the gate will be going quicker. So, you know, the all-important run to the first turn to see where everyone settles is going to be obviously vital to our chances. But, yeah, I'm pretty happy with where we're placed.
Do you think that you'll end up in the death seat at some stage?
There's a good chance that we will. Obviously, I won't have the speed to burn across those inside runners straight off the arm, as we didn't last week. But, I should be able to begin quick enough to lob a pretty forward spot, and whether that means I'm in the breeze or one pair back, remains to be seen.
He was narrowly beaten on Saturday night when he sat outside the leader, but a couple of times up the straight, he looked to get his nose in front. Do you think that he takes, speaking with Mick Stanley, he says he will take benefit from the first mile race that he's had at Menangle in his career? Obviously, a bit of a, you know, running a mile, getting to the top of that straight, looking down that long straight is something new for him. And will he improve from what we saw on Saturday night, do you think?
I think he will. He's been a horse that early days through his racing career, had a tendency to fire up and over race. And since being heading west to Kim Prentice, he's done a great job in relaxing the horse and getting really turning him into a fantastic stayer and keeping him settled. So very different racing level been used to in recent times as to what he encountered the other night and what he's going to encounter this week. So, I think the run will only do the horse good. And, we're expecting to be even sharper this week.
Mate, what about Little Peanut? He loves Menangle. The barrier draw hasn't been kind again, but second behind Colt 31. Of course, he ran second in the Breeders' Challenge behind Ignatius. He just loves the place.
Yeah, he sure does. No, he's really thriving since he's been up there, which he did last year for the Breeders' Challenge. So, obviously the barrier draw is not ideal for us, but, we overcome the same barrier last year in the Breeders' Challenge final to get up and run second, and probably a little bit unlucky not to win it with a bit of interference around the last turn. So, just so proud of the horse for what he's achieved so far. And, he had a couple of little setbacks leading into the Victoria Derby heat here, and he probably wasn't 100% for that series, but he seems to be back on track now. And like you say, he seems to love Menangle. So you've got to be in it to win it, and we're happy to be there.
Beautiful. Your first drive in a Miracle Mile this Saturday night?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so really looking forward to it.
Well, mate, all the best of luck and good luck.
Thank you very much.
There is Greg Sugars, the man who'll drive Soho Tribeca, who ran second behind Anything for Love. We should touch on the fact that the qualifiers that were run on Saturday night, Anything for Love went very quickly. He was the fastest qualifier. He went 148.7. Soho Tribeca sat outside him and ran second. And then in the other heat, it was a case of Lazarus getting crossed at the start by Mac Doro, which some suggested would happen. Then Tiger Tara went and found the top. And I must admit, Tiger Tara was then able to control the speed, and he went a lot slower than Anything for Love had to go. But it was amazing to think the punter who'd had $50,000 a place on Lazarus at $1.04, how he was feeling on the turn. He was all out. He was in all sorts of bother, and halfway down the straight, he was fifth. And somehow he rallied and he got back and he was able to finish in third spot, and the punter picked up the $2,000. But wow, what a really, really rough ride to win $2,000 in a race at Menangle on Saturday night. Want to have a chat to Kevin Seymour. He must be on top of the world at the moment. He's got a very talented three-year-old that we saw take out the Victoria Derby Colt 31. And Chris Barsby's been telling me for ages and ages to watch out when this filly Fame Assured turned up in Sydney, because she's got just as much ability. And he was spot on the money. Kevin Seymour races them both, and he's joining me on the show. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Really well. Colt 31. I know after he won the Victoria Derby, you were quoted as saying it was one of your best experiences in the sport of harness racing. He might be able to double up and make it another Derby on Saturday night.
Well, you couldn't credit it, could you? I mean, after 50 years in harness racing, I've now got a double of both a colt and a filly in the Oaks and the Derby. It's a dream come true.
And they both have legitimate winning chances. Colt 31 has been so impressive right throughout his career. He was obviously beaten in his Victoria Derby heat and then probably a forgotten horse in the final, but proved that his versatility is such the key. It doesn't matter what happens to him. He can still win races, and he's got Barrier 1 on Saturday night, so that's a big help. But Fame Assured, Chris Barsby, I was speaking with him and he said, look, I know the team have a big opinion of this filly, but she looks like she could be anything.
Yeah, if you had a look at her sprint on last Saturday night, I mean, she just sprinted around the field and, you couldn't believe the speed in which she showed. I think she's probably as good as the colt.
Wow. That's a big statement. Mm-hmm. This is her first time away from Queensland. What are the long-term plans with her?
Well, of course, we're aiming for the Oaks, both in Sydney and Melbourne. I hate to say this, but there was a filly in the Oaks heats on Saturday night, which I was surprised got beaten, a filly called Aquamiss. If you look at the replay, you'll see she was stuck on the rails, never got out, never got a chance to have a crack at them. But if she had over, I think she would have been very close up in the finish.
So you've got a nice team around you at the moment. And obviously, you mentioned there's some nice races coming up, not only in Sydney, but Victoria. And then I guess it's back home and get them ready for the Winter Carnival as well on your own doorstep.
Yeah, I mean, look, harness racing's done a bit tough here in Queensland just of recent times. And it's been good for Queensland to have a couple of horses that can go down south be very competitive, and fly the flag for Queensland. I mean, I'm as happy for Queensland as I am as happy for Kane myself.
Will you be there on? Will you and Kay be there on Saturday night cheering on your two runners?
Oh, Greg, I don't know. I mean, I just wonder whether I put the mockers on them when I go to the track. I just wonder whether it might be better if I stayed away. What do you think?
Oh, I think we should. I think you need to be there because, as I said, there's a chance you win both of the big races.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. You know, it's a worry. I just don't know whether I'm the right person to be there or whether I should stay away from the track.
Stay and just watch from afar. Well, whatever you choose to do, we wish you all the best of luck and good luck with those two very talented three-year-olds on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, as all owners are, we're pretty optimistic and, you know, we have a feeling of the ability of the horse is probably greater than what it should be, but we're just going to keep our fingers crossed and hope that Grant Dixon, who deserves all the credit for this, by the way, I mean, he's got these horses ready for the race, he's picked them at the right time, and, you know, like, I know we've got a lot of good trainers right throughout Australia, but Grant, in my opinion, is a master trainer.
No, there's no doubt about that. Good luck on Saturday night.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Kevin Seymour. He's got Colt 31, who's already won the Vic Derby. He's drawn Barrier 1, and he's gone up the even money favourite with Tab. And Fame Assured. Chris Barsby, I've been doing an interview with him every Wednesday. We've been pre-recording something for his show that goes to air later on in the week, and I've been talking to him about Fame Assured, and he did mention, he said, look, I've spoken with Kevin, and I'm not talking out of school, but he thinks Fame Assured can be as good as Colt 31 and can compete in the best races. And, you know, sometimes owners can get wrapped up in their horses, and you think, well, let's just see what she can do. It's her first time away from home, and wow, she was super impressive. She rolled to the top. She was able to make a mid-race move to find the top, and then she was able to hold off all of her rivals late. She looks to have a fair motor, Fame Assured. It should be an absolute cracking race on Saturday night, the New South Wales Oaks, and I can tell you that Fame Assured is a $4.50 chance. Favourite in the race is I'm Princess Gemma at $2.80, and Nostra Villa is the second pick at $3.60. Who drives? Who drives which filly? I'm Princess Gemma, and who drives Nostra Villa? Chris Alford, he's the man in the hot seat. He's got choices galore, not only in the Oaks, but in the Derby as well. He's joining me on the show. Morning, Puppet.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
No problems at all. Mate, that's a good place to be. You've got chances in all races, and you've got some big choices to make. Do you make them, or does Emma make them for you?
Bit of a team decision. You know, they pretty much leave it up to me. But, I think I'll go with Poster Boy and Nostra Villa.
Poster Boy and Nostra Villa. Now, Nostra Villa, she got attacked mid-race when Art's Treasure was uncontrollable for Jimmy Rattray. But, gee, she was brave, Nostra Villa. She really dug deep, and she was only nailed right at the end.
Yeah, well, probably it was a little bit my fault she got beaten as well, because she's not sort of a... Well, we know how strong she is, but she's not sort of a real high point-to-point speed horse. And the horse on my back was like breathing down my neck, turning for home when I should have been letting her stride. And I saw the other one coming out wide, and I sort of let it get a bit close to her before I wound her up. I'm pretty sure if I'd have kicked at the top of the straight, she would have still won.
So you turn Saturday night's Oaks into a bit of a staying test?
Well, she is really, really strong. And saying that, though, she has got speed as well, and she can run that speed for a long, long way, as we saw the other night, like every quarter was 28.
Poster Boy, he's the second favourite in the Derby. He's at 380. Maritai was super impressive as well. Poster Boy's got he's got the CV, hasn't he? He's proven that he's going to be competitive at that top level. Maritai looks like he's on the way up. Is that the reason why you stick with Poster Boy?
Pretty much, and I've driven him right from the start. I just sort of not long ago started driving Maritai. As you said, he was so impressive, Maritai, the other night, sitting outside the leader and winning his heat. And same with Poster Boy, he sort of got a little bit lost in front with the big long straight there, but I'm sure he'll be better again this week.
From Barrier 4, Emergency comes out. He starts from Barrier 3, Colt 31, the horse that won the Victoria Derby's drawn 1. Do you think that you'll race off the speed this week?
we'll just have to see what happens, you know, in the first 100 metres. He can get off the gate pretty good, so we'll have a little crack, I think, to the front. You know, I know how fast Colt 31 is, but I don't know how strong he is, whether he wants to take a trail or not, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty of pressure in that race.
Yeah, and the other filly I should have mentioned before we moved on to the boys was Iron Princess Gemma. She was super impressive in her heat as well.
Yeah, Clayton and Emma haven't had her that long, and she was a nice two-year-old, and things have gone on, you know, really well. That was the first time I'd driven her the other night. Although she sort of got it pretty easy early, she ran a good half and still had plenty left at the finish.
Yeah, no, it's a good time of year to have nice horses to drive. What about in the Miracle Mile itself, Lenny the Shark? What did you make of his performance on Saturday night?
I thought he was good without being, you know, the great Lenny that we know. He may have lost half the length of his dash maybe, but you know, he come out in 26.2 with the leader and then they run home in 54. It's nearly impossible to make any ground. The only horses that made up a little ground were the two that were both on the rails. So I wasn't disappointed with him. And this week, I'm pretty sure they're just going to go gangbusters the whole way. I would be surprised if the conditions are right, if they broke the record, you know, that Have Faith in Me set a couple of years ago.
Interesting. I was speaking with David Aiken on Sunday at the barrier draw, and he said, "Oh, look, we might try." He said, "Chris Alford makes the decisions. I don't tell Chris what to do." But he said, "We might try different tactics on in the Miracle Mile, and maybe not come out charging, and just see where everything settles." Is that your initial thought as well? Maybe to drive him a little bit less aggressively this week.
I would say so. Like last week, we sort of come out as hard as we could, and still ended up probably back where we were going to end up anyway when Tribeca went around. So you sort of do that work. And even when he won the mile last year, he blasted off the gate as hard as he could. And they went at 25.8 or something the first quarter.
Yep.
And Lazarus just potted out of the gate and he still lobbed 1-1 on the back without doing any work. So, yeah, I think we might just be a little bit more conservative at the start, because David said when he worked him last week, he still brushed up a quarter in 25 and a piece. So he's still got that speed. Whether he can just do it at both ends now, he might be able to.
Who's the hardest to beat?
Well, when you look at the race, it's probably not a horse in it with the right run that can't win. You know, maybe Charleval, he might be a little bit outclassed, but he was good last week. But, you know, you got Tiger Tara, he's going to get a good run. Anything for Love's going to lead and be awfully hard to beat the way he ran the other night. Whether we can do that 2 weeks in a row is to be yet to be decided. Dillaby Kung Fu was great in the chariots, but then you look at Tommy Grant sort of couldn't keep up with us last week. So whether he's up to, you know, the big boys yet is undecided. Tribeca was super last week, and I'm sure he'll be better for the run at Menangle. And then you've got Lazarus, he's in a bit of bother being out there. If he goes forward, he's going to have to, you know, maybe be three wide the trip, because I'm not sure if Tribeca would let him go. And if he goes back, we know how impossible it is when they run an halves in 54 to make ground. So, yeah, it's going to be a great race, and I'm sure it's going to be very exciting.
Are you in the camp that says Lazarus can't win from barrier 8?
Well, you can never write off champions. Everyone saw what he did in the Fremantle Cup when he just got beaten. He's at three wide the trip. So you can never say never, but, you know, he's going to have to go, you know, probably his best ever race to win.
Well, mate, good luck on Saturday night. Always an exciting time of year for the top trainers and drivers with the big races, and we wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Greg. I'll see you Saturday.
See you Saturday. There he is, Puppet. Chris Alford joining us on the show. Yeah, that's right. Last year, 24.8, they blasted off the gate. Hector, JJ and Lenny. And in the end, Lenny was too strong. So I think we can take it from that they'll be less aggressive with Lenny in the early stages. But interesting comments from Mark Purden this morning. They might be aggressive with Lazarus. And wow, wouldn't that spark the fireworks? Graham White's joining us now. He's the boss down there at Wagga. And they've got their carnival just around the corner. He's joining us to tell us all about it. Morning, Whitey. How are you?
Very well, Greg. Yourself?
Really well, and looking forward to a big night of racing coming up. But it's a very exciting time for people in the Riverina, not only because of the upcoming carnival, but that new track can't be too far away either.
Yeah, it's looking fantastic, Greg. I've had the opportunity to be out there a few times lately and take a few different trainers and drivers and owners out there, and it's really taking shape. So they've been into it for about 8 weeks now, and you can see the outline of the track. The stable complex is all the formation of that. You can see where that's going to be, and also the clubhouse. So, look, it looks magic at the moment, and they've had a really good run with the weather, except for early on in the process, but they're expecting that to be finished by October, and with a view to racing in December.
December, that'll be exciting, and you'll have a soft launch with it, a grand official opening just before Christmas?
Yeah, that's right, Greg. The plan at this stage is to have a couple of trial nights and iron out any problems, then have a meeting about December 14, and then have the opening meeting on Saturday night, December 22. So just the Saturday night before Christmas, then get into it. A lot to look forward to.
Make it a Christmas present for the Riverina. What about your upcoming carnival? What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, it's the last one that's going to be held at the showgrounds, Greg. So the Cup's going to be worth $30,000. Then we've got the Derby and Oaks, which are worth $10,000 each, and a two-year-old worth $8,000. $9,000. And tonight, two Riverina horses will earn the right to go into the Cup because we've got the Wagga Cup prelude tonight and a very good field. Let's Catch Me If You Can goes around in that. And also our Classical Art, who's actually racing in foal at the present time. So something a little bit different. And Medal of Honour, she's been flying as well, ran third in the Aubrey Cup on Saturday night. But as far as the Wagga Cup goes, it's shaping up pretty well. Been talking to some of the main trainers from around the place and they reckon they're targeting the race. Also, the horse that won the Aubrey Cup, Brello's Pass, is going in it. And also been talking to the connections of the very good filly, Don't Think Twice. She's coming down for the Cup as well. So it's all starting to take shape. But tonight, Greg, plenty of horses around, 11 races and a trial before that. So pretty strong.
The conditions for the Wagga Cup, C3 or better, no better than M1. There's a couple of nice Sydney paces that are assessed at M1 that would no doubt appreciate going around the track there at Wagga, and 30,000, pretty good coin to be to race for as well.
It is, Greg. It's the second time we've held the race for 30,000. It's a Group 3 race, and we just decided a couple of years ago to increase the prize money, and it certainly paid off last year with Chantry coming down to win. He won the Canberra Cup as well. And Chantry's trainer, Shane Sanderson, I was talking to him yesterday, and he said he was looking to target some horses for the carnival again. And also the horse that won the Canberra Cup this year, which has been a pretty good pointer for Scotty Osmond, the driver there. He was able to run a place at Aubrey on Saturday night. It's coming for the Wagga Cup as well. So it's going to be a pretty strong race, but that's what you expect when you put on the good money.
Exactly right. So the Wagga Oaks, the Wagga Derby, the Wagga Pacers Cup, they're all on Saturday, March 3. And nominations for that meeting will close next Monday morning at 9:30. So trainers, if you're having a weekend maybe in Sydney for the Miracle Mile and you're travelling up from the bush, keep in mind nominations close 9:30 next Monday morning for that big meeting at Wagga. Should be an absolute cracker.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Well, Graham, all the best of luck, and we'll keep in close contact with you just to see how the track is coming along down there, because it is very exciting times for the people of the Riverina.
Yeah, it certainly is, Greg, and as I said, a few of the trainers that I've taken out there have been really impressed, and we're only in the infancy stage at this stage, so no, things couldn't be going better at the present time.
All right, Graham, thanks for that. Speak with you soon.
Thanks, Greg.
And just quickly, in wrapping up the show, I know we've gone over a little bit today. Major Harness Racing New South Wales announcement tonight on In the Gig. Make sure you join us. It's 6 o'clock, Sky Racing 2. The new look team of Ben Way, myself and Jason Bonington. But we're going to have, in the second segment of the show, we're going to have the chairman of Harness Racing New South Wales on, Mr. Rod Smith. And Rod has a major, major announcement for New South Wales Harness Racing. One of the most exciting announcements in the last decade, probably longer, since we've made the move to Menangle. There is going to be some very happy people within the industry. So make sure you join us for that. What a weekend we've got coming up. It is the Miracle Mile, the Ladyship. We've got the Derby. We've got the Oaks. We've got the Bohemia Crystal. It is going to be a sensational night of racing. You'll see all the action on Sky Racing 1. And, of course, you'll hear it all here on Sky Racing Radio. And I'll be back again next Tuesday with a full wrap-up of the Miracle Mile.